I'd like to call the Health and Social Services Committee at order, to order, at 5:17 p.m. on Friday, April 14th. Good Friday to everyone that's here in the audience and those listening at home. We're meeting at the Belch Room in the Thomas Stewart Building. Please remember to silence your cell phone as a courtesy. Committee members present are Senator Machicki, Senator Begich, and myself, Senator Wilson, Senator Von Imhoff, and Senator Geisel are taking care of state business and of the committee. At this time, I'd like to close public testimony on HB 72, Discrimination, Gender ID, Sexual Orientation, that was presented by Senator Gartner, which we first heard on March 31st. Now we'll hear a overview of HJR 14.
Mr. Chairman, I object to closing testimony on that, but without proper notification to people. I'm confused by that. Could you explain this to me?
Yes, we can always reopen testimony at another time. At this time, just for an ease, for SB 72.
You said 72.
Yeah.
I find that uncomfortable. We've received so much email we've received phone calls asking about when the next public testimony is going to be on this, and I was not aware that you were going to do that today. So I feel a little blindsided by that. You know, I mean, I've assured constituents that I would tell them that if I knew there was public hearing open still, that I would pass that on to them. And I feel a little blindsided by this. You might want to take it at ease. I don't know, but
at ease. Back on the record. So this being closing down the end of the interim, prepping for the interim, we found it best just to sort of close up testimony so we don't have folks waiting for to come back to testify, and we could take this up in open testimony at a later date and time when we have that to come, for the bill to come back before us another day.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for that explanation. I withdraw my objection.
Thank you, sir. At this time, we'll hear an overview of H.R. 14, FCC Increased Rural Health Care Budget, which is sponsored by Representative Bryce Edgman. This is a legislation time sensitive. It's my intent to hear the bill today, take public testimony, and if there's any other comments from committee members, we'll entertain those motions and hopefully try to move this bill out of committee. At this time, if Mr. Edgman's staff would like to come up and introduce yourself for the record, and you may begin at your leisure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Tim Clark. I'm staff to Representative Edgman, and I also bring with me his apologies for not being able to make it here this afternoon. HGR 14, has to do with an FCC-funded broadband support program for rural healthcare centers in Alaska and across the country. Rural Alaska has made great strides in recent years in the long-distance delivery of healthcare via telemedicine. These broadband services expand locally available treatment options for an increasing number of maladies, including treatment for substance abuse. They accelerate diagnosis and treatment and help Alaskans avoid expensive travel for care. But despite these advances, we're about to hit a roadblock. The The existence of such services depends on the FCC Rural Healthcare Universal Services Support Program. The budget for the program has been capped at the same level since it was established in 1997, 20 years ago. The program is funded through universal service charges. There is no state funding obligation. For most of the program's existence, the $400 million budget has been enough to meet demand, but as you can imagine, after decades of advances in technology, increases in demand, and the effects of inflation, FCC expects the demand will exceed the budget cap for the first time in 2017. HJR 14 urges the FCC to increase the Rural Healthcare Universal Service support budget sufficiently to adjust for inflation, to keep up with advances in technology and the services available with increased broadband, and to meet the increased demand for these broadband-based services. Additionally, the resolution encourages FCC to index the program budget for inflation and to allow any unused funds to be carried forward to future funding years. This will allow healthcare providers to continue improving access to healthcare in rural locations. We should have standing by on teleconference John Cezada, who's the Director of Policy Development at the Alaska Primary Care Association, and Colin Underwood, who is the healthcare program manager for Alaska Communications. They can handle some of the more involved technical questions that might be beyond me. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Okay. Do we have any questions from any of the committee members?
Questions for any children?
Yeah. Question?
One, please.
Yes, Senator Machiki.
Yes, I thank you for the explanation of the bill. I see only support from some names that I and organizations that I respect throughout the state. Are you aware of any opposition to this resolution?
Through the chair, Senator Machiki, no opposition from any particular organizations that I'm aware of. There was concern when the bill crossed the floor of the House about the way universal service charges programs are funded through a charge that often will show up on a consumer's bill. And I think some of the members, I don't want to presume to know precisely why there were a handful of no votes, but I believe it was related to misgivings they had about perhaps additional costs being passed on to consumers if the budget were to be increased. But the fact of the matter, through the chair, Senator Machiki, is that an increase of even $200 million to that $400 million budget, which would bring it to about the level where it would be had it been indexed for inflation beginning in 1997, an increase of that level would result in fractions of pennies being charged to consumers on a monthly basis. It's a nationwide program, and the pool of consumers who pay into universal services is in the many tens of millions.
Thank you. Okay, follow up?
Thank you.
Okay. And thank you, Mr. Clark, for carrying this bill for Speaker Edgman today. I did want to let an opportunity for John Zada, if he had any other comments to add, if he wanted to speak. John, are you with us today?
Yes, Senator Wilson. My name is John Pizzada. I'm the Policy Integration Director with the Alaska Primary Care Association. We appreciate you considering this bill late in the afternoon on a Friday. This issue is moving quickly federally. For the current fiscal year that we are in, some community health centers are already seeing a drop in the subsidy that they're receiving through this fund, meaning that some rural providers monthly internet bills are going up from $500 a month to almost $4,000 a month. The cap increase effort is very timely. We're working so that this doesn't occur for the fiscal year that starts July 1st. Additional ramifications that I wanted to just share with the committee, certain SB 74 redesign components could also be endangered if the cap is not raised, and these include the ability of rural providers to fully use telehealth, to undertake care coordination, to continue to support mental health parity in small rural communities and in their efforts to address the opioid epidemic. Basically, rural health providers have built their care systems around dedicated internet that's subsidized through this program, and again, it's very important. We believe that the state of Alaska show its full support to the federal government as we go through the process of having the cap increased.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
A question for John.
Yes, Senator Matricki.
Hello there, John. A question for you. Do you believe the state, the residents of the state of Alaska enjoy more support from the program than they likely pay into it?
Through the chair, Senator Matricki, I would believe that that is probably the case. Out of the $400 million current fund, Alaska uses about $100 million of the fund per year. Of that, $38 million goes to community health centers, and an additional $27 million goes to rural hospitals and other care entities, you know, outside of those two, you know, take up the remainder.
Follow-up, Senator?
No, my question was kind of what is paid in if we think Alaskans enjoy more than just when we hear about the concern of the increased cost, which would likely be fractions of a penny. I don't know what unit it is per minute of cell phone time or something. You'll have to help me with what the unit of cost goes for, but I just typically we enjoy much more benefit on a dollar value than Alaskans pay into these kinds of programs, and I was just wondering if that was somewhat consistent.
Through the chair, Senator Matricki, my assumption is that Alaska enjoys a considerable, you know, benefit from the program, far short of what they're contributing to the FCC and universal service charges.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Begich.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Matricki, great question, because I think it underscores, I didn't realize we received a quarter of the fund. That's what I think I just heard John say. John, was that correct? A quarter of the fund? $100 million of the $400
million? Through the chair, Senator Begich, yes, that is correct.
Thank you. And if I heard what Mr. Clark said earlier, we're talking about this is the universal charge that's on my phone bill that's spread out across the country with tens of millions of people. I think we certainly don't have a quarter of the people of the country, so I think Senator Matricki's question gets right to the point. We really are benefiting from this fund to a great degree, it seems to me. That's a fabulous idea. I had no idea. Thank you very much for bringing this bill before us.
Thank you. And, you know, during my time and traveling around to some of the rural health centers, going to be able to see some of the telehealth technologies and management capabilities that are capable during my time at Eastern Aleutians Tribe doing a couple of conferences. The technology and the use of technology, I feel, was only on the tip of the iceberg, and I haven't been back since in about 10 years or so, and so I can only imagine what some of the healthcare centers are doing now and certain some of the rural entities try to hopefully lower that cost of healthcare. Any other questions for the bill sponsor? At this time, we will open public testimony. Is anyone in the room that would like to testify? And is anyone online that would like to testify?
Hearing or seeing none, we will go ahead and close public testimony. Are there any amendments from committee members? Hearing none, is there a motion to move this bill from committee?
Yes.
Senator Chiki?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move House Joint Resolution 14, Version J, out of committee with accompanying zero fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Is there objection? Hearing none, this bill is moved from committee. We'll take a brief at ease to go through the documents. Back on the record, that concludes our business of the Health and Social Services Committee today. Senator Michiki.
Mr. Chairman, I do think sometimes the public doesn't understand when we temporarily close down public testimony, and I think I appreciate your explanation. The fact is that we are in the last couple of days, and we will be prioritizing to just a few bills. And the bills that are in this stage of the process will not be taken up until next year. So I just wanted to make sure on the SB 72 issue that people understood that we don't leave public testimony open over the interim, and when a bill's going to be heard, it gets picked back up. So sometimes people just call in for, they may be kind of new to this process, and they just call in for that bill and don't realize that that's not an unusual thing. So I just wanted to clarify a little more, but I appreciate you doing your part earlier to clarify for the public. I think it can be, our process can be confusing.
Yes. And our office is always still open to take comments or questions or concerns upon that bill.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Begich.
And I want to also thank you for your commitment to appreciating that the process can continue in the following session. So appreciate that.
Yes. All right. That time, we will go ahead and say we're adjourned at 5:35 p.m. and I hope everyone has a pleasant Easter.